good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, which means distant thunder is my native name and my real name, and my colonized name is Robert Pilot. And we discuss local, national, and worldwide Native American events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Alliant Energy, powering beyond.
Powering beyond, right on. Hey, so it's really cold here in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
For all you people listening to us all over Turtle Island, it's really cold, and I have socks on, and it's cold.
It is cold. I couldn't warm up yesterday, yeah. Even though today's colder. I just couldn't warm up. I had the heat on in the house, had the fireplace on. I just could not get my bones warm.
Well, we got some snow, but Ogama has lots of snow.
Yes.
And well, that's a great segue. We're going to swing it over to Ogama. We're, you know, she does the news that you don't hear anywhere else all over Turtle Island, Wendy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's call her in. Ogama with the news. Welcome.
Hi, Anibuju, everybody. I'm Ogama Ganuikwe. I'm from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, where I'm enrolled. And I live in central Minnesota now, where we have about 2.5 feet of snow on the ground. So it's pretty epic where I live. And it is quite cold here, but everything is so far holding our own, at least for our community. So tonight I want to make sure to give a shout out first thing to our unhoused relatives who may be out fighting this weather here in Minnesota. I hope you all find a safe place to stay. And in this season, in this cold season, I hope our relatives who are blessed with housing and warm places to be, that they can extend their hands out to those of our relatives who are not, and to help with those things. So in news, I always like to start with upcoming items on the Line 3 fight here in Minnesota. And I do have one event that's coming up in early January, Friday, January 7th at 6:30 p.m. They're going to be airing a short film, Honor the Earth and Building Unity Minnesota, are going to be airing the film LN3, Seven Teachings of the Anishinaabe in Resistance, which is a 38-minute frontline documentary on the efforts to stop the fossil fuel expansion and encourage energy security, real energy security. The predatory tar sands industry has hijacked the U.S. regulatory system as of 2019 and placed food systems, and the fifth of the world's fresh water in imminent danger here in Minnesota. The LN3 documentary features Winona LaDuke, Tara Hauska, Thomas X, and more as they are taking on Big Oil. So this is going to be a free movie and after film discussion, and you can register for the links to the movie to join in again Friday, January 7th, either with Honor the Earth or Building Unity, both really great organizations. So make sure to check that out to find out some more information on what's happening with that. In history today, Robert and Wendy, you know what today is. Yep. Today is the 131st anniversary of the Wounded Knee Massacre, which happened in 1890. Some people still call it the Battle of Wounded Knee, but I don't know that it was really a battle. It was a massacre of nearly 300 Lakota people by soldiers of the United States Army. It happened near Wounded Knee Creek on the what's now the Lakota Pine Ridge Indian Reservation in the state of South Dakota, and it was a botched attempt to disarm a Lakota camp. And I do believe women and children were massacred at that time, too. Am I remembering that, Robert?
Absolutely. And also how it went down is that they asked them for their guns and then murdered them all.
Right. Yep. Cavalry troops went in to disarm, and it looks like somebody's, they're claiming that a ghost dance was happening and that somebody in the, I'm on Wikipedia right now, that a tribesman named Black Coyote's rifle went off. There was a ghost dance happening, and that was what signaled the whole things. But they had already been stripped of their guns and disarmed for the most part. So 250 men were killed, and 51 were wounded, four men and 47 women and children, many of whom ended up dying later. And some additional estimates put it as high as 300. The average number that you see is 300. So prayers to our relatives for this piece of history that continues to wound us all today. In Minnesota, coming up in February, there's a Dakota and Ojibwe languages revitalization symposium that's happening Wednesday, February 23rd through Saturday, February 26th. The Minnesota Indian Affairs Council's Language Revitalization Working Group has partnered with the Minnesota Humanities Center and is hosting the symposium. There's going to be a welcoming gathering on the 23rd, a conference the 24th, and then a post-conference farewell gathering and giveaway on February 26th. I did share the event link for that, so you can register at registration at mnhum.org. That's mnhum.org. And register for that. I believe it's $10 to go, so that's a really exciting event that's coming up here around the Dakota, Lakota people. And then this one is really exciting for me as somebody who does news. Have you heard of Orini Kaipara yet, Robert or Wendy?
Yes, I did. I posted that up there, and she has her native tattoos on her face too, which is awesome.
Yes, so Orini Kaipari is the first Maori woman who made it onto primetime television to deliver the news on TV New Zealand with a moko koai, which is the traditional tattoo of the Maori woman. She has her chin tattooed, and it was really exciting. So this happened Christmas Day. She read the 6 o'clock news as a stand-in, but she really hopes to become a presenter for the regular 6 p.m. slot. And it's been something that she's been doing. She has been a news presenter on non-primetime shows, and something that she's been doing now for a couple of years. So she's been garnering a lot of support for that. But I was able to find something here. Apparently, back in 2020, there was an artist named Samantha Payne in New Zealand who painted Orini Kaipara's image without her permission with the tattoo after seeing her on one of her first non-primetime announcements for the news, and then made a whole bunch of money off of it. And Samantha Payne was non-Maori and claimed that she basically claimed ignorance, that she didn't know that that was something that was wrong of her to do. So I thought that was really interesting, because we talk a lot about, you know, history and appropriation, and would be what would be known as appropriation. And I would think, as an artist, anytime you use somebody's portrait to gain money, that you would ask their permission or give them a portion of the profits first, or, you know, that kind of thing. But apparently none of that happened in this case. And then Orini Kaipara actually found another woman that she knew and other Maori people who had been painted in likeness by this artist without their permission as well. So it's a really interesting story. If any of you have time to go take a look at it and give some support worldwide to our Indigenous relatives throughout Turtle Island as a whole. I guess Turtle Island's technically North America, right, Robert? So we're going a little bit worldwide with this one, right?
That's right. We're going worldwide. That's cool. Hey, Ogama Pinigigi, thank you for all you do in your news. We got Bob Blake today, Wendy, and with the Solar Bear, with the Solar News. And we're going to be talking about year-ending things that have happened in the Solar News. I talked to him earlier today.
Cool.
So that'll be cool. Wind and solar, we need to go, and we need to protect Mother Earth. And Mother Earth will always be here, but the people and the animals that our relatives may not. So we need to protect it for the next seven generations. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Navigating COVID while protecting yourself can be difficult. Fortunately, there's a hotline you can call with any questions. The Department of Indian Work St. Paul partnered with the Minnesota Department of Health to open the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline. They provide information on vaccines, booster shots, and testing sites. Right now, booster shots are available to anyone over the age of 18 for those who are eligible. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline can also help with housing, food, medical, and educational support. If you or someone you know has questions about COVID-19, vaccinations, booster shots, or testing, please call 651-304-9986. Again, the number is 651-304-9986. The Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline is open for calls Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 hotline at 651-304-9986.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Biju, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Yes, you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Well, it's the end of the year here, and we have Bob Blake with Solar Bear and the Solar News, and we're going to see if Bob can hang on a couple segments today and talk about solar stuff. And I see he has my hat on. Good. Welcome. Welcome, Bob. Yeah, there it is. Nice little, I got to see how you did that. Nice hat. And welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And I just got to tell you, you know, we've had John for a couple years, and it's always really positive and exciting having Bob Blake on, Wendy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's always good news.
All right. There you go. He modeled his stuff off there, and here we go. It's Bob Blake with the Solar News and the Solar Bear.
Robert, I think one of the best stories from this last year has got to be, let's see here, 10 countries generate almost 100% renewable electricity.
Wow.
And I think, yeah. And here's the interesting thing. So you've got Scotland, who's doing a lot of wind. You've got Kenya, who's doing a lot of geothermal. And of course, you've got other countries that, like Australia, that are doing a lot of solar. So what's great about this, Robert, is that everybody is doing what, you know, is more advantageous for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like wherever they're located at, that's what they're using the most of. And I think this is a great story because this means that, like, you know, wherever you're at, take advantage of whatever's around you and use that to generate your power.
Absolutely. That is a great story of the year.
That was back in, I want to say, October. But, you know, as I was going through all my stories, I have a lot of stories, I realize.
Well, let's see. Once a week, you have 52 times at least three. So that's like 160 some stories.
Wow, that's great that you archived them all, because mine, once they're done, they're deleted. So I can't go back.
Or put in the recycling.
Or put in the recycling or delete it.
I know. I couldn't believe like all the stories I had here. It's incredible. You know, and another really cool story that I thought that as I was looking at all this was just you know, and there's like good stories and there's bad stories. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I thought that this story was really interesting because it was talking about air pollution, and it was talking about air pollution in basically communities of color that have been, you know, targeted, you know, because these communities don't usually speak up. Right. So you put like, you know, plants there that make like industrial type of solutions, whatever it may be. But, you know, this particular story, the people, these college students mapped out basically corporate polluters that were causing cancer and other diseases. And they found out that the highest rate were in these communities, BIPOC communities, these poor communities.
Yeah. That's same with the food and I mean
the factory farms.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, I mean even if these people do speak up, it's their voices are falling on deaf ears. So it's really hard for them to, you know, they're poor. They don't have anything to stand on because money talks. So it's really sad.
And yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Another really good story here, Robert, is, you know, a lot of Native nations, including First Nations in Canada, are going solar. And one of the cool stories that came out here was Ontario, and the First Nation in Ontario, Northern Ontario, had completed their first utility scale solar project.
Wow.
And yes, they did workforce development around this project. So they trained tribal members to install the solar project. They put their community members to work. And now they're basically reducing their reliance on coal and other fossil fuels to power their community with renewable energy, and obviously saving their tribal nation lots of money, while at the same time creating what seems like here is a utility now is where they're going with this. So I thought this was a great story, and this was from November 6th.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, I always leave with a good feeling, Wendy, when we talk to Bob, because mm-hmm. most of the stories are good and thought-provoking.
Yeah, definitely, in a positive light. So, yeah, but there are bad ones, too. So we have to always be aware of that as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and can I ask you, too, this real quick, then? Have you been able to watch the new Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
I did. Don't look up. Yes.
Wendy has.
I have. Very thought-provoking, very good satire. I recommend everyone to watch it. Go ahead, Ogama.
I was going to say, please no spoilers. I plan to watch it tonight. No spoilers.
That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, it's been blown up on the internet.
Everyone who is listening to this show right now, do yourself a favor. Get yourself some popcorn or some chocolate candy, whatever you choose,
brownies.
And sit back and enjoy and watch this movie. You are going to love it. I loved it. And what was really interesting that I found out about it was just the fact how, you know, Neil deGrasse Tyson said, it's a documentary.
With a lot of great actors.
Yeah, a lot of great actors. Go ahead, Ogama.
You know, what I'm seeing in the Stop Line 3 community, too, is that those Stop Line 3 activists that have seen it said it hits really close to home, really close to their heart, that we've been talking about a lot of these issues here on Native Roots Radio and all the, you know, MN350, Honor the Earth. Even Solar Bear has been talking about these climate issues for years. And you know, nobody's really listening. So it brings joy in a lot of ways with the satire, but also hits really close to home is what I'm hearing, that it's almost frustrating to watch in a way because it's so similar to what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm. And can I just say to those like scientists who were working for the gas companies, the oil companies, who were trying to warn us that us pumping gas, you know, oil into the air was not good, like 40 years ago.
Right.
Like, those were the people we should have been listening to.
Right. Yeah, it sounds similar too to what's going on with COVID and everything. It's like, you know, it's your opinion, but
well, there's people out there who just pretend it doesn't exist or don't believe it exists, that it's a hoax. The whole thing's a hoax.
Well, they come up with their own science without having any backing.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, and when you watch the show, like, it clearly talks about that. It clearly shows, like, you know, everybody just with their own opinion and the divisions we have. And, you know, it's just a great show, everyone. And everyone, please, I beg all of you who are listening to the show right now, watch this movie. You're going to love it. I swear you're going to. I can't wait to watch it again, Robert. Honestly, that's how much I want to see this movie again.
Well, Wendy told me you'll love this movie. She went rogue and watched it on her own. So we'll maybe watch it tonight after we pay a few bills.
So, Robert, I have another. So this one came from November 8th, and this was talking about basically what we had started out the segment with was wind and solar. There was a study done by some MIT scientists who said that wind and solar could meet most of, if not all of, every electricity demands of the major countries. Okay, so I just want to say to all those people who say we need coal, we need this or that, the MIT scientist who studied this said that we can meet all of our electricity demands with renewable energy. So I'm just saying that these guys are MIT scientists, Robert, who did the study.
In other words, they're really a lot smarter than me. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, so just on that story right there, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people out there who sit there and they say, you know, that it's impossible to meet all of our electricity demands with renewable energy, and we can totally do it.
So we got Lisa. She asked what the name of the movie is. We got another. We're going to go into break. And Bob, I'd like you to come back for a little bit more and talk about a couple more stories, if you don't mind.
Yeah, the movie the movie's called Don't Look Up, and you could find it on Netflix.
And it's star-studded, so I can't.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio. Gosh, I can't even remember, Bob. Who else is in that movie?
Tyler Perry.
Meryl Streep.
Yeah, she plays the president.
Ariana Grande also has an appearance on there and sings.
Yeah, well, who is she was engaged to somebody on Saturday Night Live. No, I'm just kidding.
She was.
We won't get into that. So let's talk a little bit more of that and talk about a little more of the best of Solar Bear up next. And, you know, we really appreciate Bob Blake stopping in every Wednesday and doing this. So, Bob, stay with us and... we're going to double up on your pay here. We're going to have you for two segments. So we'll be right back with the Solar Bear with the Solar News. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a 5-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me one. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strongheart's Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strongheart's Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
What is this?
It's a vaccine, Batman.
What does it do?
It protects you from viruses.
What kind of viruses?
Well, this one more specifically protects you from COVID-19 strains and variants.
COVID-19? Cool. You're still going to jail, Joker.
In your dreams, Batman.
This message is brought to you by McGizzy Communications and the Minnesota Department of Health.
Now, more than ever, we are being faced daily with the topic of human mortality. And for many people, estate planning has been top of mind. Getting your estate planning done now can be easy and cost-effective. Schroman Law offers virtual options for initial consultations so that new clients can safely initiate the process. With many facing uncertain financial situations, Schroman Law also offers affordable fees for legal documents. Learn more at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
Hi, I'm Adam Ostrowski of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, and I would like to tell you about a big new tax credit. Starting this year, earn a 26% federal tax credit based on the purchase and installation costs of an efficient wood stove or fireplace insert.
We got our wood stove from Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces to lower our carbon footprint and to harvest our own renewable energy. Now you can get 26% off the cost in the form of a federal tax credit.
At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, it is our job to find a place for fire that works in your life. We have a diverse selection of fireplace products. Clean wood burning, convenient gas burning, and easy to install electric stoves and fireplaces for inside your home or outdoors too.
Fire offers comfort from the cold and warms the heart. At Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, there are so many ways to discover your place for fire, with over 35 working indoor and outdoor fireplaces. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces on the corner of East Franklin Avenue and Riverside in Minneapolis. Out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Hello, Minneapolis. It's Randy Rhodes on your radio in the heart of the Midwest every weeknight from 10 to midnight on AM 950.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lulia. Cloudy tonight with a low of 1 above 0, then cloudy on Thursday with a high of 23. Cap off the final days of 2021 with a fantastic meal at one of our Eat Local Minnesota restaurants. Find the list of Eat Local Minnesota restaurants at eatlocalminnesota.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, we should have did Howling for Wolves with Bob here. We could have had four-way harmony. But
well, we could do it twice.
Oh, here we go. Do it.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Good howler. Howler. He howls well.
I know, he does.
Do you remember, Robert, when I first started coming out of the radio and I was like, I want to do Howling for Wolves.
That's right. I think you came to the studio out in the mothership and doing that too.
Yeah, in Eden Prairie.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked you guys. I was like, we were on break or something. I was like, can I do Howling for Wolves with you guys?
Yeah. Well, you know.
That was awesome.
We just heard a commercial on a couple commercials we were listening to in the break, and one of them was the fireplace, and we have one of those fireplaces now. And also was Jay Selby, and I remember going to Jay Selby's after the show with you, and you loving the place, the vegan hamburger and all that.
Yeah. My grandmother, her home was like a block away from J. Selby's. So, like, I grew up in that neighborhood, literally. I mean, right. We used to play football right there on Selby Avenue. And, you know, because I went to St. Paul Central. So we grew up right there. All my buddies were right there. So I love that neighborhood. And my grandmother's no longer there, but just love that area.
Yeah, I went to St. Paul Central, too, and a lot of famous people like yourself and Dave Winfield and Stacy Robinson and all those great athletes that went to St. Paul Central.
Yeah.
Yeah. Charles Schultz, Snoopy.
Yeah, he lived right above O'Gara's Bar over there on Selby and Snelling. You want to hear how old I am, Bob? I had a couple of his teachers who he had in grade school, and they had art that he had done for them hanging on the wall.
No way. Are you serious?
Yeah. So they must have been really young when they were teaching him. They must have been in their early 20s, but the math works out.
Wow. This is great. From Karen, she says, I would like to support indigenous wind and solar generation of electrical energy to meet all electrical needs with renewable resources for a dream come true. You know, I just want to say real quick, Indigenous Energized Initiative is a group that I'm involved with. It's a national group I'm involved with, along with the Institute for Tribal Environmental Professionals out of Northern Arizona. And they are working on that, Karen. So I just want to let you know that there are some really good people out there, smart people, who are really putting a lot of effort into that. And so I encourage you to check out their websites if you get the opportunity to.
That's awesome. And Bob, you're going to help out my nation too. And I think we're going to have a meet and greet, not this Friday, but next Friday. Hopefully your schedule will be open again. But we're excited. And everyone that works with you is excited to work with you. So we're pumped to have that get to know you. And I know you. I think just the rest of the nation needs to know how great you are. And I think that should be one of your top stories, too, about the Department of Energy story.
Should we make that a story? Okay, let me get through these first two stories here. Let me get through these first next two stories, and they're all about tribal nations doing work. So,
right on.
The next story that we got here is from Alaska, and it's the Metlakatla Indian community, and what they've been doing, Robert, because you know they're having a lot of issues with the ground is melting, you know what I mean, So what they've been doing is they've been seeing everything that's been happening, and what they've been doing is they've been doing a lot of energy efficiency projects up there in their home and in their homes and whatnot to basically try and fight carbon, you know. Wow. And I think this is just a great job of a small community that isn't rich, it doesn't have a lot of money, but they are doing their part, and that means that the rest of us need to do our part.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And the next one comes from the Vintut Gitchwin First Nation in Yukon, and they created their own energy microgrid. So they have their own microgrid going up there, basically their own utility, and they're supplying power to all their people up there in the Yukon with renewable energy and solar. So I think this is another great story, and this was out of the National Observer, and this was from November 9th.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the Intertribal Electric Vehicle Project.
Yes,
we are going to be putting in close to 150 charging stations. I know in the press it says 120, but we think we got more. We've got more money than that to put in more charging stations, and we are going to connect the Twin Cities all the way up to Red Lake, Red Lake out to Standing Rock and back to the Twin Cities. And what we're trying to say is that we do not accept line three in the decision that the state of Minnesota and the federal government made. And this is just another act of defiance And this is our way of saying to the people, you have a choice. You can either choose to continue to use fossil fuels or you can use electric vehicles. And right, so we call this the electric vehicle charging pipeline.
Wow. I think I smell a t-shirt we should make. Oh,
yes. I think there's a t-shirt and I think someone might have a store that we could sell those t-shirts at.
Yeah, that's right. It's Wendy's store, Wendy and Ogama's store.
Well, I think that, you know, by doing so, Robert, I also kind of felt like too, like, a lot of these rural communities were hit hard by the pandemic. And, you know, we just kind of thought that this would be a great way to kind of like try to help kickstart their economy and their communities by creating kind of like a Route 66, you know, and let people getting out, driving this route, stay in the hotels, shop at the stores, eat at the restaurants, take your family, get them out of the home because they've been cooped up from the pandemic. And just really, you know, try and stir some economic development in these rural communities.
Absolutely. And I really like the idea of charging stations. I always think of Bob when I was a kid in junior high or high school that those calculators were, you know, as big as your hand and they were like $80. And, you know, once I get going, you know, fast forward 10, 15 years, you can have a calculator on a pen for free. So I think that's where we're going towards. Prices are going to be going down for all these electric cars, and you're helping that because it's going to be accessible.
And by the way, we've got 20 electric vehicles. We've got at least 12 or 13 electric vehicles going to the Red Lake Nation. And we got about 7 going to Standing Rock. And we've got an electric truck going to Native Sun Community Power Development.
Maybe we can get one of those for the St. Paul office of Ho-Chunk so we can drive to Black River Falls in one.
Oh, did Ogama have a question?
No, but don't change the subject. Did you get a car for Ho-Chunk too so I can drive to Black River Falls in it?
I, you know, and it was really interesting, Robert, when I put all this together, because we were trying to figure out exactly what's going to make a really good story to the Department of Energy. And by the way, they loved the story. They were like, because they looked at a lot of different projects, Robert, and we were the highest awarded project in the entire country.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Exactly. That is a wait. Let me get it. Wait. Got a little applause on here. Okay. Yeah. I had to use that button again.
Yeah. And when we first started this project, we were like, okay, let's put up some charging stations. And I was like, hey, we got to tell a story because we're not going to get people to fight climate change around statistics, around stats, around, you know, like, you know, we can move people with stories. You know what I mean? Yep. And that was the big piece of this, Robert, was to, we got to create a story out of this. And that's really where I went with this. And thanks to the Department of Energy that they were really excited about it. Ogama, did you have a question?
That's awesome. And then, yeah. Did you have a question, Ogama? I was going to say something.
I do. Yeah. So if people in rural Minnesota or going out towards Standing Rock, Native people or non-Native people, I guess, wanted to apply for jobs working on the Intertribal Charging Network, is that something they can do? And if so, where do they apply?
Yeah. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be reaching out to the local communities, and we're going to be doing some workforce development with the Minnesota Electrical Association, as well as Solar Energy International is probably who we're going to be working with. And we're going to be doing some job training and operations and maintenance training on this because we've got money in this grant to do so. So I just want to let, you know, like Native people, like us, White Earth, Red Lake, you know, along that whole area there, if you guys want to get trained in on how to put in some electric vehicle charging networks, please, like, you know, get a hold of us because we're going to be holding some trainings. The grant doesn't start until February.
I smell union jobs, Bob.
Oh, I would, Robert, and I would love to be partnered with the union. I mean, mm-hmm. I really want the unions to, to work better with communities of color. Like, I just don't know why we have this disconnect between unions and communities of color. I really want us to start working together.
Well, let's do it. And I got to say, Peeny Geegee Bob, and I know you have one of those electric cars stashed away for Ho-Chunk Nation and our drive back and forth from Black River Falls and the Dells every day, so I appreciate you in that. But above all, we really appreciate you coming on, and this is just like... it's the end of the year, and it's time to reflect, and it's just a great relationship we have with Solar Bear and Native Sun and Bob Blake from Red Lake, Wendy. Mm-hmm. We just keep pushing forward and bringing the positive news and letting us know, and it's really cold, and we always got to remember solar panels work better when it's really cold. Thanks, Bob.
Make noise, everyone.
All right. Wow, that was awesome. You're listening to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awakened. Up next, our sacred animal section with Wendy Pilot. We'll be right back.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
For too long, American Indian tribes have faced a competitive disadvantage when litigating against powerful forces. With its American Indian law and policy practice, Robbins Kaplan, LLP, seeks to redefine excellence for high-stakes litigation in Indian country. They have worked hand-in-hand with tribes to implement the Tribal Law and Order Act, fighting against diminishment of tribal lands and natural resources, and improving public safety on reservations. The Robbins Kaplan American Indian Law and Policy Practice serves tribes and individuals on commercial, government investigations, agency and tribal boundary disputes, as well as personal injury. Founded and led by former United States attorneys Brendan Johnson and Tim Purdon, their American Indian Law and Policy Practice exists to bring justice to tribal clients whose claims in the past have been dismissed or ignored due to their underdog status. If you or your tribe are facing legal issues, contact robbinskaplan.com or call toll-free at 1-800-553-9910.
Hey, Cudgee, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Peeny Geegee, and thank you for your support.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Native Roots Trading Post, supporting Native artists.
Right on.
Also, this portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Round two.
Hey, round two today.
Before you get into your segment, Wendy, I just want to give a quick shout out. At our store, we have a lot of Native artists, and one of the ones I'm really proud of that we just got a shipment in of Leonard Peltier paintings that he's painted in prison. The prints, not the painting exactly, but the prints of the painting. Mm-hmm. So we're really excited to support Leonard and get him out of prison.
They're beautiful. The paintings are, the prints are beautiful, and he is quite an artist. And it's Native Roots Trading Post is located at 700 Nicollet Mall in downtown Minneapolis in the on the first floor of the Dayton's building.
Maybe we should say this before we start, too. It's like Free Leonard Peltier.
Free Leonard Peltier. Yeah. Yep,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. We say that at the end of the every show.
Yep, we sure do.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Daga Curtis, who is Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I am a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. Tomorrow, I'm hopefully, or even right after the first of the year, I'm going to find out all our wins for 2021. So that'll be interesting to do that.
That'll take a long time, I think, because there are quite a few, right?
Yeah, there's never enough time. So it might have to be two shows. But I found this really cool article in Canadian Geographic. And it's dated August 6, 2021. It's written by Zaya Tong. And it's the amazing sea wolves of the Great Bear Rainforest. First Nations and scientists work side by side to better understand and protect coastal wolves living in the Great Bear Rainforest. And this is in British Columbia. And Ogama has a picture of a wolf right now. And what these sea wolves do is really they eat sea animals. So here it goes. The wolves eat the brains, said William Housty. If you're walking along the creek beds of the Great Bear Rainforest and see decapitated salmon scattered about, it's a telltale sign that sea wolves have been in the area. They just take a bite out of the head and they leave everything else fully intact. This unusual feeding strategy has evolved among the coastal wolves that live in and around the Bella Bella of British Columbia. Housty was born and raised here. His grandmother is head of the wolf clan of, I'm going to want to say this nicely, the Heltsik Nation, and he chairs the Heltsik Integrated Resource Management Department Board. The wolves, he said, are shrewder than the local bears who eat the fish whole and as a result often get riddled with tapeworm. Eating the heads alone might also be a way to avoid salmon poisoning, a bacterial toxicity from eating raw fish concentrated in the kidneys and muscles that can be fatal to dogs and wolves and animals that are like dogs. Wolves are very, very intelligent animals, continues Housty. We respect them and they respect us. I listen rapt as he shares stories of living alongside these beautiful howlers in his home territory. But I'm also a bit embarrassed as to grew up in British Columbia, but never realized that we had sea wolves living on the coast. Wow. And I didn't realize we had sea wolves living on the coast either. Until recently, scientists didn't know much about sea wolves either. Paul Packett is a leading wolf expert and senior scientist at the Rain Coast Conservation Foundation, a nonprofit conservation science organization that since 1990 has focused on the power of research to protect the land, water, and wildlife of coastal British Columbia. He says the first inkling that these wolves were unique was discovered by a zoologist named Ian McTarget Cowan in the 1930s. It was only in 1998, however, that research on these particular wolves began in earnest. But Paquette is clear to point out that the existence of these animals was certainly not news to the coastal First Nations, whose knowledge of the wolves dates back to their early origin stories. After all, how do you discover something that's it's always been there? Ogama, I think you have a picture of the map, and this shows where the area is where these animals. Nope, that's not it. it's there. It is. That's it. That's why Today, Paquette and other scientists who work in the Heitzik territory take an initiative approach to studying the wolves, one that pairs traditional ecological knowledge, which is TEK, with modern science. The SciTech strategy has its foundation in a very important model, or the bringing together of different ways of knowing the evidence from multiple sources to develop a more holistic understanding of the wolves. Firstly, sea wolves, or marine wolves as they have been known, are fast, powerful swimmers. Housley remembers an encounter he had with his father once while boating. We looked ahead of us and we could see something in the water. We couldn't tell what it was, but it was moving. As we got closer, it was actually two wolves swimming across the channel. One reason they're tricky to spot is because the wolves move stealthily in the water, their backs and bodies submerged, and only their ears and eyes and snouts peering above the surface. The wolves aren't just dog paddling either. They're distant swimmers. They're packed living. There are packs living on the Big Island of the coast, which is 13 kilometers from Bella Bella, and there is no way to get there except to swim. We also know that the wolves aren't sedentary. Many of them migrate through the archipelago, swimming from island to island throughout the year. At times, they're tracking the salmon, but other times they just show up even when there's no salmon to be found. That's because sea wolves have a diverse diet. A recent study found that they can be up to 90% marine-based. Lone wolves take down seals and otters, while packs of wolves have been spotted feasting on occasional whale carcasses. And this is something very different from what we're used to learning about with our wolves who live inland. There's even wolves that dig for clams, grab the clams, and with their very strong jaws are able to crack open the clams, and then they eat the clams like that. So that's pretty unbelievable. The thing that I really love about this article is that the Heitzik Nation, the indigenous people there, and the scientists and the government are all working together to save these wolves and to help their habitat and to make sure that they stay healthy and they're not hunted and that their ecosystem stays healthy for them to thrive there. I only wish that, we were doing that here in the United States, because they are off the endangered species list. That was one of Trump's last exiting signings that he did, was take the gray wolf off the endangered species list. So,
Peeny Geegee Wendy, for your insight and news on our sacred animals, our relatives.
Yeah.
We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier. Stop Line 3. Please get vaccinated.